I am recording. Turn my gain up a little bit. It's a little low.
My gain
All right.
looks good.
How's this? It still looks low. I guess I'm a
Wow,
little farther
that
from the
looks really
mic.
good. The gain on this looks really good today.
How's my gain looking? All
How
right,
is
that
my
looks
gain
fine.
looking?
Is this good?
So did you draw? What happened in the game?
Don't worry about it.
You lost,
I
didn't you? Because you fucked up.
don't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it. Chess is a dumb game for dumb people.
Yeah, this is a baby game. The bonus stars at the end of chess always ruin it.
Yeah. There's no real smart people play chess. It's just for dumb people, so it doesn't matter if I
Smart
won or
people these
lost.
days are playing the Bitcoin market.
There you go.
That's three-dimensional chess.
And also checkers.
Yeah. Checkers is harder actually because there's fewer moves you can do. So it's more of a mental game, really, if you
I was
think
trying to
about
think
it.
of the name of that game where it's just the like big mat that you play as a kid that's covered in like colored dots, and you spin the thing and it lands on a color. It's like right foot red.
Twister. You twist the
Twister.
thing.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Twister, hardly know her.
It's the morning, Jessica. I'm tired.
Okay, it is like 4 p.m. where you are.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
I slept till what would be 8 a.m. my time, or 11 o'clock Eastern time today.
Nice.
It was pretty good. I didn't get very good sleep though.
Well.
Yeah, I know.
Well.
Do we have posts? Do we need to get some posts first?
I'm looking for some
I
posts.
just like when David would get us posts because then it felt like he was part of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you want me to tell him to get us posts right now?
No, he doesn't have to. He's probably
While we
busy
chat?
thinking about Halo or, I don't know, money. All he care about is money now.
That's not true.
I'm gonna see him when
He
he's here
also
next
cares
week.
about bagels.
Maybe he'll be here and get to come to the funeral as the representative of the Adrian Lynch household.
Oh my God. Can
Wouldn't it
he
be
be a
fun?
pallbearer?
Yeah, I think we're gonna need him to, because I can't do it.
Why not?
I don't know, I don't want to. I had to do that for my
Okay.
grandpa, and I was like, this isn't fun. All these people are
Yeah,
watching me,
no.
and not for good reasons.
It also like means you can't have an emotional reaction because you have a lot of responsibility. Like you have to carry it.
No, I'm gonna cry the whole time.
Yeah. Good.
I thought your cup had the orange demotivational emoji on
It's the comfy blob emoji.
there. I want a cup now that has the orange demotivational or red destructive.
We can make all three.
That'd be
Yeah,
so
red
funny.
destructive.
When we're back
Stefano
in the
made me this
office.
one. I'll ask him where what website he used.
Great. Do you have to
Because
ask, like in
we had
Italian?
comfy blob and traumatized blob
Oh,
are the two
yeah.
blobs.
Well, I don't even. The thing is, like, I like a lot of coffee mugs. You know, some of the designs are fun, or when they get warm, they do stuff. But I don't drink coffee, and I never will, and I don't drink warm liquids. So the closest I get is, like, if I put some soup in there, but then that's not enough soup. So what am I doing? Use a bowl.
What am I doing? You know?
Yeah. I look around, I think, what am I doing? Who am I?
What am I doing?
I tell you what.
I tell you what. I don't know. Oh, David's gonna find us posts so we can
Yes.
yeah, we can just
Artisanal
chat.
David posts.
David
Those are
Adrian.
the best.
That
So
little guy.
I'm here in Michigan. I made it. I was on the plane. The plane
Jess
brought
is
me
in
here.
Michigan.
Shout out to Kyle Lady for donating miles so that I could come here more easily. And really at all, because I it was not in my budget for this quarter. But how do you budget for, you know, your dad dying? And it's not sudden, you
Yeah.
know, he's been declining
That's
since
like
he went in,
an
but
unknown unknown, you know?
yeah. We're gonna put it in that quadrant, and then when we retro this, we're gonna figure out how can we be more aware of impending parental death. I think that's going to be a good... What's the lift in that? How many quarters? Two? Three?
I think the safest thing to do is to go through every day of assuming. Your life, assuming that everyone you love is going to die that day. Well, and then you'll never be disappointed. I love, like, three
people, so...
Yeah, well...
So that should be fine. But yeah, so including I'm here. Kimmy? Who? No, Kimmy... What I feel for Kimmy is beyond love. That's like... You know, you find something in your life that's so pure and perfect, and you connect to it. That's Cammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way about SpaghettiOs.
Sometimes I sit there and I think about the fact that she's going to die.
You can't do that.
Max 10 years. And I just cry.
I'm just glad that she'll get to live in San Francisco before she dies. That's like the ultimate rags to riches story for a dog from the pound, you know?
Yeah.
She was on the streets, and now she living in the Presidio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's her.
I just really love that for her.
Yeah. She's a good dog.
Yeah. So the update, and we're doing this on Saturday at about 1 o'clock Eastern, is, the machines are keeping him alive, and otherwise he's gone. So we're just waiting for the last couple people who wanted to go see him. And then we have to convince my youngest sister that, like, what we need to do is allow him to die. Because he's in no quality of life right now. He's not even aware. He went to sleep 2 weeks ago, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
It's not ideal, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of puts a dent in my plans for the next couple weeks. But otherwise, like, we're just kind of, he's plugged in. He's not really living. And the doctors have said, we don't think this is the right route to go, but we defer to you, the family.
Right. That's like, doctors will keep him alive until you tell them not to, because that's their job. But
yeah. So hopefully we can free him from the bullshit and he can, I don't know. I don't believe in an afterlife, but he does. So maybe he gets there. So that'll be fun. And then, you know, we get to figure out the funeral. Oh, and I mentioned this to Becca before recording, but apparently FEMA will reimburse costs of COVID-related funerals and everything. So if you or a loved one dies from COVID, you can get your money now. I don't know. They said they direct deposit. If you die from
COVID, you're not going to know about FEMA.
I will still know when I die about FEMA.
You won't know anything.
I'm not going to forget about it just because I died.
FEMA is your favorite federal organization, isn't it?
Yeah, if you got to pick one of them, it's got to be FEMA.
Yeah.
FEMA.
Yeah, FEMA in the house.
Where my FEMA at? That one time. It was one time. But then also, again, on Puerto Rico and, you know.
And a bunch of other times.
Yeah. Basically, anytime something bad happens, FEMA's like, I'm just the most tired I've ever been in my life.
I'm just the most incompetent that I've ever been in my life.
Whose disaster is this? I almost tripped on it. Yeah, but whatever. They'll reimburse it. It said Chris told me that last night about it's on a website. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. And I made prime
the silver lining of all of this. The silver lining of all of this was yesterday when Jess texted our group chat, "My dad is dying," and Alex replied, "Not everything is about you."
It was so funny.
I've been laughing at that all day.
Yeah, I can't wait till his dad dies.
I just kept finding it. Yeah.
I got jokes on jokes.
And he's going to be way more dramatic about it.
Yeah.
You know?
He is. Yeah. God, that guy. I showed it to my mom and my sisters, and they loved it too. And I think it's very funny. And people on Twitter seem to really like it. The people who know me. I feel like I've got all these new followers because I get involved in conversations with InfoSec people, or a lot of people followed me, like 40 people after my tweet about getting boosted because my dad was dying. Really riding it this month. I'm like, what do they think is happening now when they read this? Do they think I don't care?
They're probably like, your friends are so mean. So you had to follow it up with a tweet that was like, this is what I asked. I asked for them to joke as much as possible. Yeah. And we have a safe word for when I don't want to joke anymore.
And then Tom asked about it, and I hit him with the airplane response because I was like, nope, here's another joke, idiot. What's the
safe word? And you're like, it's a word for my friends to know when I'm done joking, but that's not important right now.
It's perfect. The setup, Tom set me up, and I just knocked it out of there. He didn't even know.
Yeah.
So, and I told Brandon, real ones.
What is it?
Are you asking me? I don't know the exact
building plan. Full of sick people.
That's not important.
That's
right
not
now.
Important right now. It took until the last time we watched that movie. We watched it in like April 2020, early pandemic, because I needed a little
pick a little me up. Giggle.
That movie's just so silly, and it was like when he takes the call from the Mayo Clinic.
And the wall of the mayonnaise doctor, behind him?
Mayonnaise on the shelves behind him. I was like, I was sitting there and I paused it. And I was like, oh my God, it's the Mayo Clinic.
This works on so many levels.
David was like, yeah, that was like so obvious. Like, I've watched this movie at least 20 times. I never noticed the Mayo Clinic.
That's funny. I like that.
I love the subtle humor in that movie.
I like it too.
They're like, on the red service phone, a call for you on the red service phone, and he picks up the white phone. No, the red phone.
Or when it's the overhead announcement, he picks up the phone. He's like, "I got it," and the voice goes,
"Okay." Or when the two voices, the male and female voices,
the red overhead, and white zones.
The red zone is for unloading and loading. There is no parking in the white zone. No, the white zone has always been for loading and unloading. You're just mad at me because I got that abortion.
There's a whole story there. I want to know more about it.
I watched that movie when I was like a kid with our dad. We watched it. And I remember our mom being like, they shouldn't be watching this. But so much of it went over my head. Like that joke. I didn't really know what abortions were as a child.
But they're hilarious.
Or when she has to blow up the autopilot. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a you know, inflatable tube at his belt buckle. And then she just like bent over his lap, like blowing him up. And I remember my mom being like, Tim, the kids shouldn't be watching this. And he's like, they don't know what the fuck is going on.
But
like,
they wrote it down for later to think about.
And then like the shot after she finishes blowing him up and they're both
She's smoking a cigarette. Yeah, relatable. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I really want to go to the hockey game tonight, but there's, you know, a lot of cases here, so I'm not gonna, but I want to.
We're gonna go. I think we're gonna go to dinner this week. Thursday is David's last day at his job. We haven't gone out to eat because it's been cold, so we can't sit outside, and the cases were high here. But they're back down to where they were before Thanksgiving here. And I was like, we were eating at restaurants before Thanksgiving. So we're going to go to a restaurant this week. Now we're both boosted. So we're going to go to this really nice Italian restaurant by us.
I like Italian. You can get the gabagool.
Yeah. Oh, and I know this is like, it's going to be good because I sent the menu. Stefano told me to send him the menu. And I sent it to him, and he was like, oh, I would definitely eat there. And I was like, oh, my God.
Holy shit. We gotta go.
We gotta go.
Will you message him later and be like, so that restaurant was booked. We ended up at Olive Garden. Is that okay?
I got the tour of Italy.
Yeah. I feel like I really know you better now.
Mm-hmm.
Just who you are as a person.
I understand you now. I got a new couch this week. I know that doesn't really... you know, compared to like your dad dying in terms
it
of
it ties in though, because he helped us move that couch, the one like he donated us his truck.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're right. The one time I met your dad was when I was buying a couch.
Yeah.
And I had to pick it up from Art Van and I used his truck.
And his name is Art. So
his
like,
name is Art.
I know.
Holy shit.
It was the Art truck that we took to Art Van
to get the Art couch.
Yeah.
No, like Monday night or Sunday night, we were sitting on our couch. We just had like a sofa with a little ottoman. And I have like a lot of neck problems. I have my C2 and C3 vertebrae are fused together. They're just one bone.
That makes them a C5. That's math.
So any activity where I am like sitting such that my neck is like slightly forward, or if I'm like at a desk or like stressed, my whole upper back and neck lock up. And, like, the muscles get super tight, and it's super painful.
What?
So we were sitting on our couch. Yeah, it's really not fun. So we were sitting on our couch Sunday night, and I was just like, we need a bigger couch. Like, a bigger, softer couch. Because we couldn't both stretch out on that couch and watch something. And, like, it just wasn't... like, it was comfortable, but it wasn't, like... it was a little too firm. So we found a couch that was very similar to the one I used to have in Ann Arbor, the one that I used your dad's truck to pick up.
The art truck to go to Art Van.
The art truck to the Art Van. And that Art Van went out of business. And when I moved, I sold that couch because it was really big. I didn't want to move it. Mm. And that was really sad because I loved that
couch. We did like that couch.
But the sectional we found is almost identical, except it's in an L shape. So it's like gigantic and so soft and so comfortable.
Four people could have sex on that couch comfortably.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's just so comfy. And yeah, I'm very pleased.
Taylor just messaged us. Taylor just messaged to say that my tweet was legendary and that she's sorry about what's happening, but she didn't know how to convey both of those at once.
That did it, I think.
Yeah, the message works. I would have accepted a like on it, but, you know, getting the direct message is always good, too. Well, I'm excited to come sit on your couch, assuming, you know, we got them in the ground and I can be there for skiing.
Consider it of him to die in time for us to go on the ski trip.
Yeah, when I told them, you know, that it was coming to the end, I mentioned it was as good, and they were like, it's real. I'm glad we talked to him. We convinced him to die sooner just so that we could go skiing without any issues.
Yep. That's the important thing.
We were having a conversation about it last night, and it got a little heavy. And so what I did was I brought up the fact that when you have a baby, you could end up with just the one hole. I think we talked about it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, right? And then I tried to convince them, because they were talking about maybe my sister's getting pregnant. I tried to convince them that when they do that and they sew it back up, there's often extra skin hanging down, and it's good luck to cut that skin off and then fry it and use it as the bread for a placenta sandwich afterwards. They didn't like that.
Oh my God.
They didn't like that idea. But I really pressed forward with it, and it got us out of that, you know, the down place we were. We all started laughing.
Is your youngest sister also been hanging out with you guys, or is it just the good sister?
She's here. No, she's here with her unvaccinated husband, and the good sister's fiance is also not vaccinated. And then they were talking about Bitcoin and Ethereum, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. They were like, the metaverse is the future. And I said, okay. I don't want to talk to you guys. We were playing Beat Saber, and so they were like, wow, I don't know how, like, when does this become ubiquitous, and this is the way we exist? And I'm like, well,
never.
You know, there's a lot of countries that don't have the infrastructure to support this, or they can't afford it anyway. So I'm
or
like,
they don't have internet at all.
That's under infrastructure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not going to ever be that. And if it is, it'll be for the privileged few. It's not going to be worldwide, you know, just like your idiot Bitcoins. They didn't talk about NFTs, so I think there's still hope for them.
Good. Well,
yeah. I don't understand how they can see what my dad's going through and get and not get vaccinated. I was driving on 94 yesterday, coming back from Allen Park because I wanted burritos. And I picked those up, and I was driving back. And on the freeway, there's a sign that says, like, COVID's caused enough grief. Get vaccinated today. And I was like, did my dad not see this? He should have known.
Like, every time he drove.
Yeah.
Can't believe this billboard didn't convince him.
Yeah, like, that lady looks real sad in the billboard. And then, you know, I'm on Twitter while they're talking about, you know, God's plan or whatever, and I roll my eyes because I don't know if the listeners know I don't believe in God. But they were talking about, you know, God's giving him a chance to decide if he'll be happy here or happy up there. And I'm looking at this tweet that has a chart that shows the differences in outcomes when you're vaccinated and boosted versus not vaccinated. And I'm like, seems like science was the answer here.
Yeah. Whether or not you're religious, it's like, there's science involved.
Yeah.
Sigh.
Yeah. My brother, who is basically disowned now because we caught him trying to steal from my dad's house, and probably is already stolen from there, he has been yelling at my mom and just being really, really shitty about all of it. So he's not involved in the process anymore.
Good.
A lot of exciting stuff.
Why has
he
been yelling at your mom?
So she left my dad some years ago. And was never really happy in the marriage, but, like, they got married when they were 21. She had me at 22. Like, he was 23, she was 21. If Becca heard about that and an Am I the Asshole, she'd be like, no, this is unacceptable. And then I was born at 22, and then they had four kids over the next 10 years. So they tried to make it work, and was raised that, like, you made that commitment for life and all this. But I think knowing that my mom didn't love him really, like, not romantically. She loves him and cares about him as a person. But I think for my brother it was hard to grow up with that. And then he got into drugs and stuff in middle school and high school and has had a lot of problems, and we thought he was doing better, but then he's really kind of lost it now. So he was saying some shitty stuff about my mom via text message while I was in the airplane. And I was like, you need to shut your fucking mouth. I just sent that as a sentence. And he said, why don't you come make me? And it's like, what are you talking about? Cool. So I just replied, I'm on my way. And Annie texted, fight, fight, fight. I'm like, what are you trying to do? He's completely lost it. And I get some of it's a grief response, but he's not going to do anything to fix it. So whatever. What are you typing?
I'm texting my sister-in-law.
Do you want me to say something?
No, thank you.
What's her number? What is her address?
Don't worry about it.
Where does she live?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
That's like all the auto replies. I don't know if you've ever used the auto replies in LinkedIn, but a lot of them end up being like, what are you doing? Where are you located? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And it just keeps going back and forth like that. And it sounds so robotic, and like an AI has taken over and is trying to find you. Skynet's been like, I'll find you and kill you.
Where do you live? I have been selling. We have two 42 inch of the TCL TVs, and
too small.
And we're consolidating to one slightly bigger one. And so I've been selling them on Facebook Marketplace. And I have this exchange from last night, if I can find it. Here we go. Someone DM'd me, is this still available? And that was Wednesday. And I said, yes, it's available. They reply at 5 a.m. on Thursday. $100. Mind you, it's listed for $175. And then an hour later, after I didn't respond, pick up tomorrow. Like, not a question. Just like,
I'll be there tomorrow. I'm on my way right now.
And then Friday at 6 p.m. just sends he. That's it.
Is that like shorthand for hello?
So I reply he.
You should have said she with an asterisk.
So then they reply an hour later, if he is going to sell me the TV. I'm just going to reply, nah.
He.
Just only reply.
I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening.
Ah, man.
Right? I
hate Facebook Marketplace.
I don't ever go on there to buy or sell anything.
I mean, it's handy when it works out. Like yesterday, somebody bought our old couch and that all went very smoothly. But like TV shit, like, I don't know. Somebody was like, can you hold it for me until Friday? And I was like, okay. And then Friday, like yesterday, I between Wednesday and Friday gotten like so many texts asking like, is this available? And I was like, pending, whatever. Friday comes, I text this person like, you can come get the TV, and they just don't respond.
Hey, just want to check in it. Notice the TV was not picked up.
I've been holding this for you
literally, like, I've had it in my lap for 3 days. Why are you doing this?
Just wait. Please come get this TV.
Yes, please.
David said he sent me posts over Discord, but I didn't get them, so
he probably sent it to one of your four accounts in Discord.
Yeah, exactly. I have this one that I texted you that I want to read because it sounds crazy.
Let's go. I'll pull it up here.
Am I the asshole for not telling my fiance where I go on Sundays?
Oh my God. Is it church?
So, super weird situation, and I need a judgment. I, 32, male, have been engaged to Amanda, 34, female, for about a year. We dated for 3. She has a 12-year-old daughter named Alexis. Me and Alexis have a good relationship. Me, Amanda, and her ex all have a good relationship for the most part. I'm totally comfortable with my role. So, Amanda, her ex, and Alexis have this weird thing they do They all get together on Sundays and hang out, the three of them. I guess it started as a family tradition, then once they divorced, they kept it going. They make breakfast, watch movies, and just hang out all day together. I find it really weird, TBH. Like, I'm not insecure about it, but why would you want to spend one day a week with your ex is beyond me. I said how weird I found this when we started dating, but Amanda said that Alexis looks forward to it weekly, so she never stopped it. So at first I would just hang out in our room or the basement all Sunday, but I got tired being trapped in my own house, so I started leaving the whole day. Amanda would never ask where I was going or anything, wouldn't even notice I was gone. First I was golfing or getting errands done, or I would find a bar. But then I reconnected with my old friend, Bella. Oh no. Bella and me started dating 5 years ago, but have remained good friends since. Or we dated 5 years ago, have remained good friends since. She just broke up with her husband and moved into a new apartment. I told her one Sunday that I was planning to just go to the movies, and instead, she invited me over. We smoked some weed, watched some movies, cooked, and just hung out. It was nice, and ever since, it's become my weekly tradition.
We've barely had any sex, though.
Just like a couple times, don't worry about
it. Yeah.
Whenever Sunday would come, I would head over to Bella's and we would just hang out all day. I didn't see the need to bring it up to Amanda where I was going. She never asked or even wondered where I was every Sunday. So yesterday, Bella stopped by our house to drop off my phone charger because I left it at her place. Bella knew what she was doing.
I think so.
She did not need to bring you your phone charger. Okay. Amanda asked why Bella had my phone charger, and I told her it's where I was on Sunday. She asked why I was there, and I told her it was my Sunday hangout spot. She flipped out, saying how rude it was to not let her know I was hanging out with an ex. I laughed and said, "Do you really not see the irony with that statement?" She said it's different because she was forthcoming about her and her ex's relationship, and that if I had an issue with it, then I should have said so. I said I did already bring it up, and she said it was important to her daughter. Was I supposed to interfere with the highlight of her daughter's week in order to make myself feel better? No, I'll just sneak out the back door and head to my friend's house and just do a little bit of sex. Don't worry about it. I didn't see why this was an issue at all. We trust each other and are adults. Amanda doesn't want me over there anymore and said she wants me to find another way to spend my Sundays. I said that I don't want your ex over here on Sundays anymore if that's how we're playing this. Am I the asshole?
I mean, do you want to read the update first, or do you want to?
Well, I mean, just like, of course, you're the asshole.
Yeah, because
like,
you're hiding course. It. You made it like a weird secret. You could have said, "Oh, guess who I bumped into the other day?" Blah blah blah. But
yeah,
like, because the wife's been forthcoming with their whole thing. Like, she mentioned it when you were dating, together. And they have a kid together. Like, it's been a normal thing in their routine. Like, okay,
it's not like
I don't know that I would do present. That, but.
Yeah. There's a kid present while they're together. So it's not like they're hanging out alone together. The kid is probably
filming, if anything.
Yeah, at least. So, but you are going to your ex's house where there is no one else present. You're alone with her. That's different. And it's a secret. You kept it a secret because you know it's wrong.
Yes, the secret is what makes him the asshole.
Yeah.
I like how he's like, I don't get it, though.
Also hang out. Why doesn't he also just hang out and watch movies on Sundays with the three of them? Like, why don't... That doesn't make sense.
I have no idea.
Like,
if they have a good relationship is what it says anyways. Maybe they could all hang out. You hook up Bella with the wife's ex, and then you're one big polycule.
There you go. Okay, update. Some shit has already hit the fan with the whole situation. I can't imagine why.
What?
I've put my foot down and said I'm not being forced out of the house anymore. When was he ever forced out of the house?
It sounds like they were hanging out there and he felt awkward, so he left. He talks about a little bit more in the update.
Okay. They said they can do Sunday Funday at her ex's place moving forward. I'll post a complete update when I can. I did want to clarify that the reason I don't hang out with them is I was asked not to at first. Then I always felt awkward about the whole thing. So at first I stayed away because I was asked, and then I felt like the fourth wheel, so I decided to quit trying. Bella has really helped since she went through something similar with her significant other. Sounds like he's just insecure about his wife having a relationship with her ex, so he's like trying to get back at you.
That's what I was gonna say, is like reading it feels a little bit like it's retaliation, like I'll show you. I'll hang out with whoever I want. Oh, here's my ex who's recently single. Boom, best friend.
Yeah, if the other woman wasn't involved, like he wasn't sneaking around, then I would be more inclined to say not the asshole. If he's just like, whatever, I asked you not to have your ex-husband over here. You're still doing it. Fine. I'm just going to like leave and go to the bar and I don't need to tell you where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's going and sneaking around with another woman, it's extra shitty.
Yeah, it's the sneaking, I think. And he says he's not insecure, but he does seem uncomfortable with it. So I don't know. I don't think he's reacting to it well. But she's always been upfront. I'm like, you knew this going in. You got married to her knowing this was part of the routine. So, like...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she told you from the beginning, like, hey, it's just a thing we do. We did it when we were married. We're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, for the kid. I mean, I would expect you probably do that till the kids, I don't know, through high school, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, I think he is the asshole. The situation is... weird, but like whatever, that's their family dynamic and they're fine with it, they're upfront with it, so I think he would be the asshole. It's just the sneakiness.
Okay
nice. We're doing a short episode today, so we're gonna take our break and then be right back. We're going back into the podcast here. This just in, we're seeing suspected cirrhosis on that liver.
That's no good.
I mean, a lot of it's been bad, to be honest. So, okay, so we're back. My stomach's been upset because it's a little bit stressful right now. People don't realize. I think I'm the only one who's ever been stressed out by the situation. Other people are pretty chill about it, but I'm like, I'm just wired different.
Most people, when their dad's dying, they're like, fine, you know?
Yeah.
So it's weird that you're a little stressed.
Yeah, I feel so dumb right now.
Yeah, it is pretty stupid.
Okay. I'm going to read the next post. We're going to keep on trucking here. Is that good? What are you drinking?
Yeah, I was really thirsty. It's water.
Oh, I love water.
Yeah, me too.
So good. I drink that stuff, maybe every day, I think.
Oh, same.
I don't know if there's ever been a day in my life where I didn't have water, like if I just really think about it.
Yeah.
That's same. Amazing. Water's always there for me.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so I'm going to read, am I the asshole for not wanting to co-own a house with my husband?
Yeah, I'm interested in this one.
Hello. To start, this is a throwaway account. Also, long post warning. Each of those words was capitalized, long post warning. Like it's a real thing or a category that people are aware of.
It's the name of a restaurant.
Yeah. The long post warning. TLDR in the bottom, but we're not doing that. That's not who we are as a podcast. Here is the background. My female 30 husband, male 35, comes from a wealthy family, and he works for the family business. When we met 7.5 years ago, I was a fresh college graduate working a minimum wage job.
Fresh.
Oh, okay.
It's weird.
Working a minimum wage.
To say fresh,
like, yeah, you're fresh out. You're like, you can still smell the college on them. It's embarrassing. Yep. Working a minimum wage job and neck deep in student loans. We got married very fast, 8 months after meeting, and I had met his parents all of 3 times. His parents insisted that I sign a prenup, and I understand them completely. If my child was in the same situation, I would have made the same decision.
The prenup. Hot take. I think prenups are always a good idea.
I don't have a strong opinion on them, but also probably I should, because twice now I've tried to get married and twice it's not worked, so I gotta assume that when I eventually maybe do get married, I'm gonna want a plan.
I just feel like if you are the person marrying someone with a lot of money, a prenup shows that you are not marrying them because of the money. And if you are someone with a ton of money marrying someone who doesn't have a ton of money, it's just a, like an element of like protecting yourself.
I know. I don't have an opinion on it because I've never, most of my life I had no money. So it's not something I've thought about. But I will make sure, like, I get all my Game Boys. If the relationship ends, like, I get to keep them.
Yeah, they don't get to cut your Game Boys in half.
And my Xbox. That's the rules.
Yeah.
You can have the PS5. No, I lied. I want that too.
If I get divorced, I'm going to be so sad. I'm going to need all my video games.
Yeah. What am I going to do? I can't just not play Mario. That's the only thing I have now. All right. The prenup pretty much says that in the event of a divorce, I get nothing. Unless he cheats, then I get alimony. Also, finances, debts, property, and savings are completely separate unless both our names are on the asset. I asked to amend it so that he gets nothing too, and they all agreed that it was fair. The house we live in is owned by his parents, and the car he drives is a company car. We have a joint account for monthly expenses, groceries, utility, landscaping, etc., that we put in equal amounts. Over these last 7 years, I've been able to get a good job, pay off all my loans, and not having to pay for housing is a huge bonus. And I saved about 35% for a down payment on a house and a substantial emergency fund. On the other hand, I know that my husband has credit card debt since he is of the mindset, buy it now and pay it off later. He has no asset to his name except a 401k, no savings at all. Even though my in-laws are great and they consider this house as ours and not theirs, I want something to my name. I want to have a house that is my own to change how I want, my own to change how I want and to be proud of. Over the years, my husband to even contemplate the idea of buying a house. I don't know what that sentence is supposed to be.
That's not a sentence.
I started looking and finally found the house of my dreams, and suddenly my husband did a 180 and wants to co-own the house with me. His idea is that I put in the down payment, pay another 15%, and he pays for the other 50%. That way we are equal owners. I did not want to do that. I know my husband, he will not be able to pay his part of the mortgage. Sometimes his share of the monthly expenses is transferred by his parents, as well as them always paying off some of his debts. Now he won't even talk to me. He says if I don't agree to co-owning the house with him, then he won't move in with me at all, and it shows I don't trust him. What are your advices on this whole mess? That's the end of the post. I think that he and his family set him up to be in this situation where, like, she's understand. Like, I need to own something myself just in case.
Yeah, I don't understand the question. So the question is she wants to own a house all by herself?
Yes, because...
How is that any different from...
What he's doing, except he doesn't own it.
Yeah, but also, like, how is that any different from you buying it and him eventually paying the mortgage and then not actually being able to pay the mortgage, right? Is it that his name would be on it? So if you got divorced, you would have to, like, split the house. But, like... I think if you had documented that, because if your accounts are all separate, I'm not a lawyer.
People what? Don't know,
but I'm not a lawyer. Yeah. I have to imagine that if your accounts are all separate and you co-own a house, but you have documentation to show that you were the only one who ever paid for it, would you still have to split the house evenly?
No, I think the contract is what matters. Because you'd have to, if he couldn't pay it, you'd have to, like, you'd probably have to sue for breach of contract or something like that, would be my expectation. Is, like, you'd have to take action on him not paying it. If you just covered it or whatever, then, like, as far as they're concerned,
so you'd have to have it in a contract that he would, you'd have to have it in writing that he would pay, eventually he would pay a certain amount.
And if he can't, then he forfeits rights. Like, I that would be my expectation. I am a lawyer, though, so I'm probably right.
I don't understand... So if you love this man, why, like, it seems like you are setting yourself up for, like, not trusting him. Like, he's right in that you don't trust him
because but you said he, you don't. She shouldn't because he's bad with his finances. His parents are floating him money all the time.
But she has said that when he can't meet the utility bills, his parents send him money and he pays it. So why would it be any different? With a mortgage, like, it's not that he's not making payments and she's covering for him. It's that he doesn't make the payments and then his parents send the money. So that's probably what would happen with their mortgage.
Well, at the end of the day, they own the house, though. So if he can't pay it, the money, like, that breach of mortgage or whatever you would call it, would fall on the parents. So it's their legal responsibility to pay for it anyway.
No, they like they own the house in full right now. She's talking about them buying a different house.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying is that's why it's different is because the parents will have no obligation to cover that
for him. No, but they're talking about like the utility bills and stuff, like his other bills. His parents just pay. So.
But her concern is that he's not going to be able to pay his part of the mortgage, not the bills.
Yeah. There's a lot of like no assholes here. I don't know. I think like psychologically, it's not necessarily the husband's fault. Like, I don't think he was set up for success here. So I'm like not super inclined to say that he's an asshole either. I think there's a lot of issues here.
Well, I think that the prenup, like what they went through when they got married, is because that was 7 years ago, like really set them up because they treated her kind of like she was coming in like a gold digger. And I know you agree that that's the right move to do. But they treated her in a way that said they didn't really trust her. And now she's been with him and seen the way that they cover him. He doesn't pay his bills. Like if the house is in both of their names and he can't do it, then she has to pay for it all or she'll lose the house. Like they could give the money, I suppose, but there's no legal obligation for them to do so. Whereas in the house they're in right now, which they own, if it's not paid, it falls on them. So they'd be the ones in financial trouble.
Yeah, so it's a I just think situation. there's a deeper situation here where like you are married to someone, but you are like, I need to own this house on my own because I don't trust you financially. Like that is a big red flag.
But
like,
that's what they did to her at the beginning. Then? That's what they did to her. Yeah, so like
why are you here at all?
Right? Well, no, like, I agree. That's why I don't think she's in the wrong here, although I guess you could call it kind of retaliatory, just like the last one was. But I don't think that she is in the wrong to want to do this because they've kind of set her up to this spot where she has nothing because they didn't trust her.
Well, she doesn't have nothing. She has her own money. Like, they have all their separate accounts and stuff. Right.
And so if she wants to buy a house on her own, she should be entitled to do that.
Right. Right. I just think that this is a whole weird situation.
Oh, I agree. Like, if I were ever set it up.
If I were ever in a marriage where I was like, I need to buy this house by myself because I don't trust you to be on the mortgage with me, I would be deeply reevaluating my life instead of posting on Reddit. That's it. That's all.
No, that's fine. I don't necessarily think he's the asshole. I think his parents have not taught him how to be a fiscally responsible adult.
Yeah.
Because he's but also 35. Like, they met when he was, what, 28?
Yeah.
And he works for the family business, so, like, he seems to me like someone who's never really done any real world anything.
Yeah. She also said she doesn't, like, resent them for the prenup thing, though. Like, she said herself,
no,
like,
if I had
a ton of money and I had a kid, I would want them to protect themselves.
I think that's why she is partly doing this, is because for her it logically flows like, hey, you know, this was the situation then. You didn't trust me, and now this is the situation. Now I don't trust you, and we've had this kind of separation before that we've agreed to. So to me, if I was in that position, I'd be like, this makes sense to me. Why is this a problem?
Yeah.
But it also mentions she that he really changed his mind. It sounded like he was on board with it. I think that's the sentence that we couldn't understand, is that somewhere in there, either they had talked about this or they thought about it, but he seemed on board with it and then changed his mind. Because it says, suddenly he did a 180 and wants to co-own the house with me. Which implies that at some point he was like, whatever, I don't care. So I don't think anyone's an asshole except maybe the parents, because they've produced a child who cannot figure himself out and take care of himself.
Does it make you an asshole though? Like if you have a ton of money and spoil your kid. Well, no, you're probably
trying to,
like,
take care of your kid. I get it.
Especially if you don't come from money and then you have a ton of money and you have a kid, like that idea of just like, I worked hard to provide them so they never have to worry about anything. Yeah. So I can't judge anyone for that either, but this poster has replied to a ton of comments.
I haven't looked.
They said that she talked to a lawyer before signing the prenup, said that we made sure everything was fair to both parties, talked to another before deciding to buy the house. She said everything about him is great except for the financial side. He was there for me in some of my lowest moments. He's a wonderful partner and a great friend. Oh, if you like the words, the top words to describe your husband should be a great friend.
He's a stable presence and a reliable person to shovel the
he's
driveway.
He's my pal.
Yeah. We're basically BFF.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a weird one.
Yeah, I honestly think that she's perfectly within, you know, reason to want to do this, especially if he was on board and then changed his mind. He doesn't sound fiscally responsible.
Correct. He does not.
And for him, he'd still get to live in that other house rent-free. So, like, there's really no change. I slept 9 hours and 11 minutes, and I sent a screenshot of it to the group chat yesterday, and then Alex was trying to send something else to Troll Hangout and sent that screenshot.
And why did he have that in his clipboard, though?
No, like, iMessage does this sometimes, is you'll right-click on one thing and copy and then paste it. And it grabs something completely different.
And it copies different. It kept doing that for me.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. So I don't know why it does that. But I have issues sometimes where I'll get a message and it'll scroll all the way back up to the top when the message comes in. And I'm like, what are you doing? So I'm not surprised that he seemed really worried that he had posted it in there. And I was like, I don't care. What is that? They don't even know it came from me until he told them it was from me. So I was like, but even then, I don't really care. People can see that I slept well last night. Not last night, the night before. But the best
slept
part
for 9 hours
was,
and 11 minutes.
Yeah, then I went in there, I wrote, never forget.
Good on you for never forgetting.
Yeah.
We slept like 10 hours last night. It was good.
That does sound
I hadn't been getting quality sleep all week. Like, mm-hmm. I had been getting 8 hours, but, you know, you wake up and you're like, ugh.
Well, you've been really upset about my dad, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, it's like, it's just like, you know, I don't know where I was going with that.
That's okay. You were tired. You're sleeping. You're still tired.
I got good sleep last night. It was really refreshing. And we got our new couch. We're going to spend a lot of the weekend on the couch, I think, doing nothing. Although it's gorgeous outside. It's 50 degrees. There are birds chirping.
No,
I think
like
we're going to go for a nice long walk.
It better snow than when we go ski. Right now, I think it's about 18 here. Yeah, 18 degrees. Feel like 9 degrees. My mom was like, it's too cold out. I'm like, this is fine. I brought my ski jacket.
That's so cold. No, thank you. My parents
like
went
it.
Skiing up
it's
north
sunny,
yesterday.
Though?
My parents went skiing up north, and it was 19 degrees.
Where up north did they go?
Caberfay.
Oh, I've never been there. I've always heard about it, though.
Yeah. It's near Cadillac, and then afterwards they went to Cadillac. They're like living it up. They are boosted and they both like had COVID recently. So they're
like at the peak of immunity.
Yeah. They're like, we're just going to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they went to some bar in Cadillac and got, my mom sent us a screenshot of an empty cocktail thing. She sent a picture of an empty glass. She says, it was too delicious. I couldn't wait. Gone in 2 minutes after skiing. Bailey's, Kahlua, and coffee. Fresh cream. Good Lord. Delicious.
She spent the rest of the afternoon rolling down the hill.
Yeah. No, this was after ski. The après ski, as they say.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm happy for her. That sounds very nice. I kind of would go skiing while I was here. I didn't bring my snow pants, but I'm like, it is snowy. It's nice to see. It's going to snow next week, like real snow. I'm excited for that.
Well, you know, we're all going to go ski. We booked our Airbnb for the ski resort for when y'all come here for mine and Ben's birthday, joint birthday. And then we're all going to hang out that week, cook some food, go to Hot Pot.
I love Hot Pot so much.
Yeah, and Omicron will be gone by then. We can go to Hot Pot. We can go to Stoney's.
I love Stoney's too. I told a friend about my dad, and she was like, well, when you get back to the city, you know, we'll go get Hot Pot. And I was like, oh my god, yes, please. And she was like, I'm glad to know that you're still interested in Hot Pot, because if you weren't, I would know something was really wrong.
Yeah.
I was like, no, Hot Pot me any day.
Yeah, that's how we'll know when you're really sad, is when you're not in the group chat, just like,
so I'll be like, what if we got Hot Pot? And I'll be like, I'm just not feeling it. And you'll be like, oh my god, do you need to talk? I'll call you right now.
I'll call you. That's when I just immediately FaceTime.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
No, I like the jokes. The jokes make it easier. It makes it funnier. Because the whole thing, ultimately, like, it's dumb. Shouldn't have happened.
Yep.
You ever just die from COVID? Not me.
Ever die from a preventable disease?
Yeah. That disease?
I could never.
Life. Life. Can't die from COVID if you were aborted. People don't realize that.
Oh my God. That was like this yard sign that I saw on Reddit, and it was like, drive slowly, but also the biggest threat to children is bringing them into existence.
I know, I love that.
I was in a meeting yesterday and we were talking about like how we were hoping that, you know, maybe in the next quarter we could have like we could start hanging out in person again, like our team, like do an in-person offsite. Mm-hmm. And it's like hopefully these variants just get like less and less deadly and we can just start to, you know, hang out in person. And one of my teammates was just like, yeah, but it seems like, you know, nobody's really dying from Omicron. I like really refrained myself.
Like, here's the thing. Let me tell you.
I got this friend dead.
Yeah, he's on his way out. We'll send a picture. I'll get one of him in the casket at the funeral.
Yeah.
I called it a coffin last night. My family's like he's a vampire. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I also asked, why do we have to get him? Why do we have to get a coffin? Can't we just bury him in his truck? He loves that thing.
Oh my God, his art truck.
He has an art van as well. That black van that we used for the band stuff.
That somebody hit and ran.
Yeah, that was not ideal.
I remember him being chill about it, though. We were like, someone smashed this car in the parking lot, and he was like, it's fine.
Let's see. My mom just updated. His vent's at 100%. His oxygen's at 91, which is bad when it's when it's doing that much. And then PEEP, which is a measurement of the pressure that is going in there, is my understanding, is at 17, which means like it's just under what could explode your lungs if it pushed in too hard. And he's got cirrhosis on the liver now. That's great if you want to die. And the final note from the doctor, prognosis is poor, waiting family decision. The doctors want us to do compassionate care, terminal-like care, easing pain on the way out, basically.
Yeah, it's where they basically give you like a big bag of morphine. And
yeah.
Like, okay, plug it and in whenever you're ready.
You cruise on out.
Yeah. Cruise on out.
Yeah, they asked me if I wanted to go see him. I'm like, why would I want to go see him? He's not awake. He's not going to know I'm there. He's bloated and puffy. He's plugged in all these machines. I'm like, I'm going to remember him like I saw him when I saw him on Christmas Eve day was the last time I saw him. And he had like this red hoodie on and jeans. He looked good. He looked happy.
Yeah. Yep, that's tough.
Do you want to go see him? I can ask that we keep him alive a little bit longer so you can get here.
I can fly there today, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Good. Cool. You can stay at my mom's place.
Okay.
I'll have her get us another prime rib so you can have some prime rib.
Oh, okay, good.
It honestly was so good. Not like it's hard to make prime rib. You just put it in there and watch the temperature, but I made it pretty good.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I think I had COVID when my mom had COVID because I think she got it from when we went to the restaurant. We went to this like small plates restaurant. It was very crowded. We kind of like walked in and got seated and we were like, well, we're doing this. And then she got COVID. Although the timeline was like, we went there on a Thursday night and she started having symptoms on a Sunday. So I think that would have actually been too fast. She probably got it before then.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, I think I got it also when she was here and just didn't have symptoms because now anytime David cooks meat, I do not cook meat because cooking meat is intimidating. I just cook vegetables.
We made nachos.
But anytime that he cooks meat, it smells like it's rotting. And so like every time
you got
like,
bit by the mosquito that makes you allergic to meat.
Every time. In the last like 3 months, he'll have something like roasting in the oven or something, and I'll be like, it smells like it's spoiled. Like, how long was it in the fridge? And it'll be like a thing he just bought or like just thawed, and he's like, it's fine, like I promise. So on like New Year's Eve, when he was making the rib roast that I bought, that was like $150 piece of meat,
right?
I was like, something's wrong.
Something went bad.
Spoiled. It smells bad. He's like, it smells fine. I was like, it smells really bad. And he was like, oh God, like, did it spoil? And then he started to get all nervous. Tasted completely fine. And then the same thing happened when we did like a roast chicken. And then the other night he made a pork shoulder and the whole time it was roasting, like the whole house to me smelled like rotting meat. And then I Googled it and that is like a long COVID symptom. It's like, oh God. So
As far as I know, I haven't had it yet, and I'm not inclined to get it.
Yeah.
Chris is supposed to come out for the funeral, whenever that is. They've said they want to come out. And but then, I don't remember, I told you this earlier, they were like, I'd have to have a mask on while I'm there, because I'm around unvaccinated family the whole time. And they're like, and I'd have to stay in a hotel. I can't stay with you because of the risk. And I'm like, so then what's the point of coming out? Like, I don't want them to be at risk, but if they're going to be, I'm like, I want to at least be able to, like, be close to you and go eat with you, because we're not going to be able to eat outdoors here.
So yeah, I feel like it's more just like, you either come and accept the risk and so on, or don't come.
Yeah, and I won't, I'm not going to be mad if they're not here. Like, it's not a case of I'm frustrated with them or anything. It's just like, if we can't be physically close, then I don't need you here, like, because that is what I'm going to need when they're here, like, it's our right. normal level of closeness. Otherwise, I'm like, I can just FaceTime you. You want to come to the funeral? I'll prop up my iPad. It's got cellular.
All right. Should we end the podcast?
Like, forever or just for today?
Up to you.
No, just for today is fine, I guess.
All right. When are we going to start doing Star Trek podcasts?
Whenever you're back. Yeah, we'll figure out once that we're through this.
All right.
Through the funeral stuff. I do want to set up a plan, even if it involves us taking a break from this podcast to work on that one. Like, I'm fine with that. I just want to schedule it so we know what's going on.
Yeah. So if there's a, you know, we could call it, you know, the break of our seasons, because this podcast so far only has one season.
Yeah, we're technically still in season one. So
we can end season one with episode 69.
I like that. That's what I was thinking. It's a natural cutting off
point. And then do a break, do our Star Trek podcast, and then come back to this. I did hear back from Bev Wine.
Yeah.
And they said that the podcast sounds hilarious.
It is.
And they want to listen to it, but they cannot sponsor us.
That's rude.
I know.
We're going to specifically speak out against them.
We can do fake ads for them until they send us a cease and desist.
We should just do fake ads for everything. I like when we'll say one thing and be like, and that's our sponsor this week. You know?
Yeah.
Binax COVID-19
If you've ever listened to Oh Hello, the podcast, it's John Mulaney and Nick Kroll pretending to be their, like, old characters from that Broadway show they did. And
never heard of it.
They are, the podcast is, like, solving the murder of Princess Diana, but, like, ironically. And they'll have guests on, like, serious guests who are doing an interview. And, like, as the guest is talking, slowly the volume, like, fades. And you can still kind of hear them in the background. And then Nick Kroll just comes in. He's like, this week's sponsor is the smell of a Subway sandwich. That smell lives in your car for years.
I like that smell. When I go to a Subway, I'm like, that just smells amazing.
It does just, like, get in your clothes. And I had a friend in high school that worked at a Subway, and she just smelled like Subway all the time. Like, it's like she was, like, sweating that smell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, guess we'll wrap it up.
Great. I'm going to go eat. I haven't had lunch yet.
Great. We might go for a nice walk. Walk to the bagel shop.
That does sound nice. I'm going to do Beat Saber today. I got everybody but my mom, who was here last night, played Beat Saber. And at first, like, I put it on. So I brought it when I was here Saturday. I'm still here. What day was it? I guess it would have been Thursday night. I set it up and showed them. And they all laughed at me in first. And then they tried. They're like, holy shit, this is so much fun. And I'm like, absolutely it is. Idiots.
Idiots.
I tried to tell you. Cool. Well, okay, great. Well then, yeah, you know, we'll talk later. Just let me know once your stuff's uploaded, we'll go from there.
Okay, I will.
Great, thanks.